Over the past couple of days, we have been considering the work of the Holy Spirit and what the Spirit of God is and what he does. On Friday night, we looked that the Holy Spirit was a person, that the Holy Spirit was not just a force. You know, there are many people and they think the Holy Spirit is nothing more than energy. But as we looked on Friday night, if the Holy Ghost is just a force or an energy, there's no Trinity. Now we all believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But if the Holy Spirit is just a force, then there can't be a person God the Father, a person God the Son. There's no person to be the third equal person. So there's no Trinity. The Holy Spirit is a person just in the same way as the Father and the Son. And of course, if the three persons in the Godhead are equal, as the Bible teaches us, well then, we should give equal honor to each one of them. Then we looked at who he was not. There are many people and they attribute to the Holy Spirit things that are contrary to the Word of God. There are meetings that happen up and down the country and throughout the world, and there are sensational things happening and are attributed to the Holy Spirit. But there's nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. In some of these meetings where there's blasphemy against God and where things are said that are contrary to the Word of God, and people speak in unknown tongues when the Bible has said they have ceased, and when people give extra and new prophetic statements when the Bible has been complete, and yet they attribute these to the Holy Spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit. So it's another spirit. That's the danger in the days that we live in. So the Holy Spirit is a person. A person that we should honor, but a person who is impersonated. We need to be very careful. Last night we looked at the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Well, when we're saved, the Lord does something more for us. We're saved and we're taken from our sin, and we're not just left. When we're saved, we're kind of rough at the edges. But the Lord molds us and makes us, and through the work of the Spirit of God, he begins to show us things in our lives that are not right. And more, he brings us to that point through the course of our whole lives where we are made more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. The subject of the Holy Spirit, you could be here all year at. And I've just had to pick up a few things here and a few things there. But today I want to look particularly at when the Holy Spirit comes, how the Holy Spirit saves. So as in this meeting this morning, I want you to be aware of what the Holy Spirit does in the life of someone who's not saved. And we're all born sinners. We're all born sinners without God. And yet by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Lord can save us. So how does he do that? Well, first of all, we need to look at what we are when we're not saved. And this is the condition that we are in that we're all born in. Ephesians 1 sums it up in one word. But ye hath he quickened. Ephesians 2 verse 1. And ye hath he quickened who were dead. We don't need to go any further. If you're not saved in this meeting this morning, on the authority of the Word of God, you're dead. That's a terrible condition to be in. Of course, it's not speaking physically, it's speaking spiritually. Dead toward God. And maybe you're not saved in this meeting this morning, you're thinking, I've come to church this morning, and you've just told me I'm dead. I haven't told you that. God has told you that. When we think of dead in the physical sense, you can't hear. You think if you had a dead body in front of us, that dead body cannot hear. That dead body cannot see. And that dead body cannot help itself. It's useless and it's lifeless. If anything is going to change in that dead body, just assume there's a dead body here. If anything's going to change, it needs a miracle. The dead body can't help itself. You don't expect a dead body to do anything. It takes a miracle. But if you are dead in trespasses and in sins, you need a miracle. And the only thing that can change the heart of a sinner which is dead toward God is a miracle. And it's the miracle of the Holy Spirit upon the soul. That's what we want to look at today. In Titus chapter 3, 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. So if we are going to be dead in sin as we are, and if we are going to be lifted from that helpless, hopeless state of being dead toward God, we need a miracle. The body cannot do a miracle on itself. It needs a miracle from outside to raise it to life. And as a sinner before God, we need a miracle, and it is the miracle of the work of God. I want you to, first of all, consider that there are two or three things in this world that people think produce this miracle. There are those who think baptism is enough. And you know, there are many people, and they think by putting a few drops of water on the head of a baby, suddenly that baby becomes alive. Suddenly that baby becomes a child of God. It has spiritual life. Roman Catholicism particularly holds this. Many Protestants do too. And of course, there are more categories than Protestants and Roman Catholics who hold that baptism or a few drops of water, that's no miracle. It's just water. They mistakenly believe that those drops of water make a child ready for heaven. And so, I take it it's the same in this part of the world. But when a child is born, over where I come from, there's this mad rush to get the child baptized. Otherwise, it can't get to heaven. I remember working in the maternity ward in Craigavon 30 years ago. And this little mate was born 5 months too early. Head to toe was that length. I said to the consultant, I said, what do I do? I worked in children's at the time. She says, you wrap it in a wee towel and you give it to mum because it's not going to make it. But as the baby was born, the sister in the labour ward, she took this little mite and she brought it over to the wee trolley. And she took water and a wee bit of cotton wool and she made the sign of the cross on its head. Well, I didn't know. I thought she was just wiping its head. And I said to her, whispered, what are you doing? She didn't want the mother to hear. And she said, I'm baptizing it. What do you think I'm doing? You know, they believe that child will never see God unless it's baptized. Not terrible. Not terrible the superstition that there is in the world. Yet there are many people believe that those drops of water in the head are enough to get someone to change deadness into life. The Bible teaches us very clearly in John's Gospel chapter 3, except a man be born again. Now, there's what we need. There's something that changes deadness into life. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus knew the law like the back of his hand. Nicodemus knew the Old Testament like you and I maybe will never know it. And yet Nicodemus was not saved. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. So my friend, today you're born in sin, you're shaped in iniquity, that's the way you are. But unless you're born again, unless that deadness of your sin by the miracle of the Spirit of God is changed into life, you're dead toward God. You will remain dead toward God. You'll never see heaven. And as the Lord continued to speak to Nicodemus in John 3, verse 5, verily I say unto you, except a man be born of water, that's physical birth, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In other words, we have our physical birth, and we're alive. But we're still dead toward God because of our sins. Dead in trespasses and in sins. But when the Spirit of the Lord comes along, then he brings that miracle to the dead heart. He brings that miracle to take our dead soul and make it alive unto God. See, when I was born, by virtue of the fact that I was born into a family of a mother and a father, and they're old, but they're still all right. They're getting there. I'm part of their family. But as far as God was concerned, I was not in God's family. You know, a lot of people think, they're God's children. How could you be God's children if you're not in his family? It's a very straightforward thing. You can only be born into the family of God when you have the new birth and you're born of his Spirit. The Lord goes on in John chapter 3, as he speaks to John, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. Nicodemus didn't know what he was talking about. He was a ruler of the Jews. He knew the Old Testament. He knew the Scriptures, but he didn't know he needed to be born again. Maybe you come to church, and maybe you could tell me when the Lord was born and how he died on the cross, and you could tell me about Adam and Eve and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but you don't know. You need to be born again. If you're going to get into the family of God, you need to be born into the family of God. That's how we get into a family. We're born. Nicodemus couldn't understand this. When the Lord said you needed to be born again, he started to wonder, can I, as an old man, go the second time into my mother's womb and be born? That's what he said to the Lord. The Lord said, no, I'm talking about spiritually. And then he uses the analogy of the wind. And often in the Scriptures, when we read of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit is described as a wind. Now, I have never seen the wind. There's a lot of it about. There's been quite a bit of it about in these last few days. But you know, I've never seen it. Have you? You've seen the wind. You've seen what the wind does, but you've never seen the wind. And when the Lord said here, and he's explaining to Nicodemus how the Spirit takes the dead soul and makes it alive. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. When the miracle of grace by the power of the Spirit takes that dead soul and suddenly raises it to spiritual life, that's the miracle talking about. We can't explain it, We can't say what the wind is, but oh, we can see what it does. There were trees down, and there were people killed over in our part of the world. There's been worse things happened over in the Philippines and all around the world, with awful things happening over in America. Nobody saw the wind at all. All they saw were the effects of the wind. And so it is with this miracle of grace. The Holy Spirit will come and he will take that dead soul, dead in trespasses and in sins, and he will make that dead soul alive unto God. That's the new birth. That's the miracle that is needed if that dead soul is going to be alive. Now, if you're in this meeting this morning and you're not saved, in other words, you're dead, not in the family of God, without God, without hope, and you can't get to heaven, you need that miracle to happen in your heart and in your life. There are other people, and they are not depending on baptism to have this miracle, to change them from deadness to life. They think good works are enough. There are literally millions of people, and they think if they do righteous deeds and if they give money to the church, we'll just lift the offering. It's right to give to the Lord's work. But do you think that by putting money in the plate today will buy your way into heaven? Do you think that by coming to the church today is enough for you to gain favor with God? People give to good causes. There's any amount of charities that people give their money to. People help little ladies across the road and don't stop doing it. That's exactly what you should do. It doesn't change the heart. Dead. We'll go back to this corpse that's lying in front of us. You can dress it up. And nowadays, the undertaker will go to great lengths, and I see dead bodies all the time in my work, my other job. All the time, 2 or 3 a night sometimes. And they're dead. And they look dead. But yet you see that body 6 hours later when the undertaker has put all the makeup, they have all the appearance of life. You can dress them up. They can look as though they're alive. It doesn't change the heart. It doesn't change the fact that they're dead. And you know, there are many people in this world, and they dress themselves up. They dress themselves up as though they looked alive, and they've only deceived themselves. And maybe they deceive others. And maybe they deceive the minister in their church. And maybe they deceive their parents, or maybe they deceive the other people around them. And they think, oh, well, that person must be saved. That person must be a Christian. But they're still dead. True Christianity is a heart religion. It cannot be worked up or dressed up. That corpse is dead, and that corpse will remain dead until there's a miracle of grace wrought in that heart. What does the Lord say of this dead corpse of a soul that we have? Jeremiah 17 talks of the heart. 17 verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? We're inclined to have a very rosy, spectacled view of ourselves. We like to look at ourselves in the mirror in the morning and think, well, we're not too bad. There's a lot of people worse than us. But how does God see us? How does God see us in our natural state? Our natural state, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's what God sees when he sees your heart. If we turn to Isaiah chapter 1 verse 5, the whole head is sick, the heart is faint. From the sole of the head, sole of the foot, unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. That's not a pretty picture. But that's how God sees the sinner. Now that word, putrefying, is the same word as the decomposition of a dead body. When you die, you will putrefy. That's how you decompose. You're dead. That's what God says. When God looks at the sinner, they're dead. That's why there needs to be that miracle of grace. The heart is deceitful, and many, many hundreds and millions of people have deceived themselves into thinking that they have some spiritual life, but God says you're dead. Totally dead. The understanding is darkened. Ephesians 4:18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the blindness of their heart. Isn't that the way many people are today? They're dead and they don't know it. That dead body, that corpse, dead, can't help itself. The will is perverted. In other words, there is Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So if you're not saved today, your desires and your will is contrary to God. You're trying to do everything that God doesn't want you to do. And your mind is indifferent to the gospel. I have a very interesting man in my congregation in Castle Derrick. About 15 years ago, he started coming to the services. And every week, I preached the gospel. And every week, he listened. And when I preach, I don't tend to mince my words. And I frequently said, if you die in your sin, you'll go to hell for all eternity. And frequently, I describe what hell was like. The terrors of it. I preached on the rich man being in hell, lift up his eyes, being in torments. Crying and craving for a drop of water to cool his tongue. I said that after 2,000 years from the Lord told of that man, he still craves that drop of water. He still hasn't got it and never will get it. And Neville got up and he walked out and he shook my hand. With a big grin on his face, very genuine. And he that was a good service. How could he do that? How could he hear that he was going to hell and he would burn there forever without God, without hope, and yet smile and say, I enjoyed that? The reason is his understanding was darkened. His mind was indifferent to the gospel. And so those who are dead in their sin, those who are sinners, they don't even hear the gospel as it is preached. That's why it needs the miracle of the Holy Spirit to make you alive. Someone who's dead doesn't breathe. When I'm called to a house and someone is dead, a whole lot of things I have to look for. I look to see, is there anything happening in their eyes? And I take my ears or my stethoscope out and I listen to see, is there anything? Are they breathing? If they're not, they're dead. See, those who are spiritually dead don't pray to the Lord. Oh, there may be words said, but that's not prayer. Prayer is communication directly with God. So this state of the sinner in his deadness, he's dead in trespasses and sins. He has a depraved heart. He has a darkened understanding. He does not hear the gospel. We read in the book of 1 Corinthians that the gospel is foolishness to them that believe. And that's the way it happened with this man, Neville. For 10 years, he came to missions. He was the first one there. And when the mission was over, he would be saying, when's the next mission? And he would come for 2-3 weeks in a row every night and want to come. And yet you ask him, Neville, are you saved? No. Knew he wasn't saved, but was indifferent until one time something happened. I couldn't understand. I preached and I preached and I prayed until one day something happened in his life. And the Holy Spirit took that dead sinner who had listened to the Word of God. The wind that the Lord talked about in John's Gospel chapter 3, that wind of the Spirit of God took that dead soul of Neville's and he gave it new life. I didn't say the Spirit of God come or go. But Neville's heart was changed. And the moment his heart was changed, the Word of God suddenly made sense to him. And Neville got saved. And I talked to Neville afterwards. And I said to him, in all those years, Neville, he says, I couldn't see it. Couldn't see it. I'll tell you why he couldn't see it. Because he was dead. The proof of his condition before God. So what does the Spirit of God do in the salvation of a soul? He takes away the indifference. John 16 verse 8, we've read that today. And when he is come, that is the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment to come. This is the miracle of grace coming and working upon the heart of a dead sinner. When he, the Spirit of truth has come, he will reprove the world of sin. He will show a sinner exactly where they stand. Has he shown you today where you stand before him? Maybe you've heard the gospel for years and you've come in and you've heard this man preach and you've heard other men preach and you're indifferent. But maybe today there's something different, and maybe today you realize, yes, I'm a sinner. It hasn't been me that has taught you that. It has been the Spirit of God. It is not my words that will convince a corpse that they're dead. But it is the Spirit of God taking the word that he has given and writing it upon their heart and opening their darkened mind. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment to come. It is the Spirit of God that gives life. Ephesians 2 verse 1, we've read that before. And you hath he quickened. In other words, brought to life who were dead in trespasses and in sins. He purifies the heart. It's the work of the Spirit to take that deadness in that picture of all its filth and all its sin and all its wounds and bruises and putrefying sores and wipes it all away. Takes it all away completely. He enlightens the mind. He causes us to breathe. As we close this morning, I want to take you to a graveside in Bethany. I'm sure you all know the story. Mary and Martha had a brother called Lazarus, and he died. And as he was sick, Mary and Martha sent to the Lord Jesus. He was up in Galilee and up in the upper part of the land of Israel. And they said, Lord, come and heal him. He's sick. He's dying. And the Lord eventually got down to Bethany and he was dead. He was in the tomb. Lazarus couldn't help himself. Now, Lazarus did come back to life. It wasn't the miracle of him coming back to life wasn't worked within himself. It was a miracle of God. When the Lord came and Martha said, Lord, if you'd been here, he mightn't have died. And the Lord said, roll away the stone. And Martha said, Lord, he's dead 4 days. And the very word she used, Lord, by this time he stinketh. And that's exactly. Isn't that a picture of the deadness and what God sees in the dead sinner? Just terrible picture. Then there's Lazarus lying in the grave. Could Lazarus help himself? Could Lazarus move himself? Could Lazarus breathe? Nothing. You could take Lazarus and you could put a new suit of clothes on him. And you could take makeup and you could make him look alive and change him. It'll take a miracle. What he needed was not to be dressed up like a live person. What he needed was to get new life inside. And then all the other things would get sorted out after that. And that's what the Lord did. First of all, the Lord made him alive. And when the Lord made him alive, the Lord called Lazarus, come forth. But you know, he had to be alive to hear that call. And he did hear that call. And he did come forth. And you know what? He still looked like a dead corpse. When he was moving now. And he was struggling to breathe because he was bound up in all these grave clothes. It was a lot of work to do to get those grave clothes off him. There were probably spices and ointments and all sorts of things. And he was wrapped around like we would see like a mummy. The Lord said to the disciples, loose him and let him go. He's alive. He's alive from the inside out. No point in making Lazarus look like a living person. He's dead. He needs a miracle. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. When he shows men and he shows women that they're dead. And he gives them new life from the inside out. Then they hear the voice of God and they do what Lazarus did. They respond to it. They hear and they obey and they come forth. Oh yes, they don't look wonderful at the start. And Lazarus needed to get all those grave clothes off. And I'm sure for a while he didn't look that great. But you know, that teaches us a wee bit about what we looked at last night. There's sanctification. More and more as those grave clothes came off. And more of the signs of death were removed from him. He became more and more like the life he should be and the life he could be. But it has to start off with that miracle of grace. If you're not saved today, you need that miracle. It's the Holy Spirit of God that can do that miracle in your heart. Nobody else. Your baptism doesn't make any difference to you. Good works can't. You can dress yourself up, but can't change your heart. Only the Spirit of God can do it. And it comes like a wind. You pray today that the Lord will give you that new life. You will hear his voice. And like Lazarus, when the new life is implanted within, then you'll hear the voice of God. You'll come forth. And for a while, you just mightn't look very much. But when the new life and the miracle is done, then all the rest will happen by the power of the Spirit.